Hey up, my name's Ben, and you're listening to the 2021 Advent Calendar by the WowWowWow Pals. So, you might remember that 2 years ago, I recorded the 2019 Advent Calendar, which was 31 of the greatest Stoke City players of all time. I recorded that with Tony Lloyd, and it was one big podcast that was released on Christmas Day, talking about each of the 31 players that we released every day throughout December on social media. There's going to be four differences this time around. The first one being that we're not doing players this year. We're going to do things synonymous with Stoke City. There could be players, there could be eras, there could be moments, whatever it is. We've covered it. Second difference, we're not doing one big podcast on Christmas Day. We're doing one podcast each day throughout Advent and on Christmas Day. They're going to be shorter episodes, as you've seen, but I wanted something each and every day in your inbox as a bit of a thank you and a sorry for the lack of content throughout the last couple of months. I wanted something that you could have every day if you wanted to, or you can binge all at once. Thirdly, I did that Advent calendar with Tony Lloyd, now of the Wizards of Drivel. This year, I'm doing it with one of the greatest Stoke City experts and historians I think I could have got for this podcast, Martin Cook, who, if you're not familiar, go back and listen to File 29 of this podcast, where I interviewed him about what he's done with Stoke City. He knows so much about Stoke City's history, and he's helped me so much with his podcast, and I'm really excited that I've got him to talk about all these great moments and players and eras with. I'm hugely appreciative of that. So appreciative that the fourth difference this year is that we are going to run a fundraiser for this Advent calendar. I'm going to put some money in towards a fundraiser as a bit of a thank you to Martin for participating. And I've also let Martin pick the charity that we're going to fundraise for, which is going to be the Donna Louise Trust. Something that we've raised money for as a club loads of times. It's not one that we've run a fundraiser for this podcast, but I feel like it's a great cause and well worthy of Martin for him to pick it. If you'd like to donate, there's going to be a link in the description every day that we record this on this podcast. Go to the podcast description, click the link, and feel free to donate some money. Alternatively, I'll post it on social media too. There's no target, there's no goal, there's no obligation, there's nothing like that. Please only donate if you A, want to, and B, can afford. But yeah, it'd be great if you could submit just a couple of quid as an appreciation for us doing something every day. I'd really appreciate it. I know Martin really would too. But that's it now. I'm going to let myself introduce day one of the Advent calendar to you. And yeah, this is Ben from the future signing out. Have a great Advent. Have a great December. I hope it's better than yours last year. And in advance, Merry Christmas. Hey up, my name's Ben, and this is the 2021 Advent Calendar by the WowWowWow Files. In this special series, I'll be here with a mini episode every day in the run-up to Christmas, talking about something synonymous with Stoke City. Thankfully, I'm not alone, as I've drafted in one of the greatest Stoke City experts out there to guide us through Advent. He's a tinsel to my tree, Martin Cook. It's great to have you back on the podcast. I believe this is your third appearance now. I mean, if you're doing this every day throughout Advent, you're going to be doing a few more. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Ben. Are you?
Yeah. I like Christmas anyway. And I always try and do something for Christmas on this podcast, even if it's something little. But this is great. I love this. I did something similar a couple of years ago for the players. And like I say, doing something a bit broader this time, just doing doing something synonymous with Stoke City. It could be a player, could be an era, could be a moment, whatever. And 25 of them, you've had a massive hand in picking what these are, and I'm very grateful for that. So I'll let you talk about that, actually. Why not?
Yeah, sure. So the first one that we have sort of picked out, I think you called it Big John. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah.
So we're going to do the first one, just talking about John Ritchie, who... is still Stoke City's all-time record goal scorer in competitive games. So he scored 176 times in just under 350 appearances over two spells with the club. He's seen and regarded as being one of the greatest strikers in the club's history. And I thought that would be a really nice place for us to start, basically, with goals.
Yeah, with goals. Exactly right. it's what we go to football games for, right? In the end of the day. Yeah, John Ritchie, our as you said, all-time top goal scorer. Something, because you, like I said, you've been massively helpful with preparing this. You told me that he was signed by Tony Waddington back in the day, and he signed him without ever watching him play. That's insane, isn't it? That would never have to, well, I was going to say it would never happen today. You'd hope it wouldn't, but yeah, mad.
Yeah, so it was Tony Waddington that signed him, and there's a couple of different versions of the story, but essentially that Tony Waddington didn't watch him play before he signed him. He heard a couple of reports from different people he knew in the game about this young striker who was playing non-league at the time, who was scoring goals, and other clubs were sniffing around, and he's simply made the gamble, basically. And I think that Waddington has said that Richie was one of his greatest ever signings. Like I say, it wouldn't probably happen these days, or you never know with us, but hopefully not. But it was one of those little classic examples of a manager taking a little bit of a gamble based on a player's flourishing reputation, and it paid off big style for him, really.
Well, big style. You can't get bigger for our club anyway. So considering you never watched him play, considering I've never watched him play either, really, we called him Big John. I think Stoke fans called him Big John Ritchie. What sort of player was he then?
I think that encapsulates him, really. Big centre forward, target player, very good in the air, but equally as good with his feet as well. Just something of a natural goal scorer, anything in and around the 18-yard box. He will be in the right place at the right time. And he just built his reputation as being a prolific goal scorer. And like I said, you know, to score over 170 times, you know, averaging almost a goal every two games, is a very, very good record. And I think one of my favourite little stories about him is that there's a little story about when he sat down before his first team debut, and he sat next to Stanley Matthews, basically, and Stanley Matthews basically told him that the Stoke fans needed a hero and were waiting for somebody, and that if he could be a centre forward that scored goals, they'll never forget him. And I think that is quite a nice little touching story, and it sort of predicted almost the way his career went with us.
Yeah, I guess it was somewhat a stupid question, right? Like clearly he's a goal scorer. And yeah, I love that story as well, actually. Being told by a great himself that the club needs a great is almost odd, really.
Exactly. And I think he's still fitting today as well, isn't it?
Wait, absolutely. No one's going to catch him.
Yeah, and I think fans of any generation or year of it, they always get pulled towards those goal scorers, don't they? They tend to be our heroes 9 times out of 10.
Well, they're the ones that make us feel the emotion. I said at the start, it's the reason why we attend football scoring goals. I mean, think how many mantles are in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so he was a fantastic centre forward. I'm young enough, touch forward, that I never saw him play. I'm not quite. But, you know, if you read some of the match reports and you read some of the fan stories about him, and he pops up in different autobiographies and biographies, you know, he comes across as this star player. And I think his goal scoring record sort of, you know, demonstrates that quite adequately, really.
Yeah, well there's videos on YouTube. Just Google him, and he's scored plenty of goals for you to be able to watch anyway. An iconic moment for Ritchie, sort of, anyway. An iconic moment for Stoke, I think, was actually an early rivalry with Arsenal back in the 1970-71 FA Cup semi-final. I believe it was Ritchie who put us 2 goals ahead, right, in that game. And it started well. It didn't finish very well, right?
Yeah, so in the early 1970s, we had a bit of a rivalry with Arsenal. So the 1970-71 season and the 71-72 season. We played them both times in the FA Cup semi-finals. And eventually they knocked us out both times, but in quite controversial circumstances. So in that sort of 1971 semi-final, we were 2-0 up. The game went to 2-1. And the first goal, it was sort of widely reported in newspapers that Gordon Banks had been fouled. And then when the second goal went in, he came in the fourth minute of injury time, and there'd been no stoppages in play. So the game finished 2-2. And in typical Stoke fashion, we then went and lost the replay a week or so later. And then the following year, we drew the first tie 1-1, went to the replay, lost the replay 2-1. And again, controversial circumstances. The Arsenal striker, I think it was John Radford, and he was clearly offside when he scored the winning goal. But the linesman infamously allowed play to continue because he'd mistaken a program seller on the opposite side of the ground as being a Stoke defender. So in two straight consecutive seasons, we were knocked out of the FA Cup, the semi-final stage by Arsenal, and both sort of occasions that were controversial elements to the game, shall we say.
No, the first time I heard about these semi-finals against Arsenal, I didn't realise that the rivalry we had with them, obviously, aside from the Premier League day, stretched that far back, actually. It's crazy to think it was all the way back in the Ritchie era that we had that rivalry with Arsenal. But then Ritchie played for us for a long time, didn't he? I guess you'd have to score that many goals.
Yeah, so he played for us for two separate spells. He went to Sheffield Wednesday in between. And I think Tony Waddington's on record as saying that his one of his biggest regrets is allowing Ritchie to go to Sheffield Wednesday in the first place. He did okay Sheffield Wednesday, didn't quite hit the same standards as with us. And then when he came back, he just really picked up where he left off. And then eventually his career was sort of ended a little bit prematurely due to injuries. But like you say, goal-scoring-wise, amazing. Scored in the big games. It's probably a little bit unlucky that, like many players in that era, that he didn't have a chance to pick up more trophies than just for the League Cup in 72.
Yeah, I guess nobody's perfect. If he had to retire early due to injury, then well, there you go. Nobody is perfect. Goal scoring machine. We we don't get him very often, so there had to be something wrong with him. And of course, back in an era where the game was very different, another thing you told me about him was that he was a bit of a regular at the social club opposite the Victoria Ground. Am I right?
Yeah. So there are plenty. Again, this was a different era of football. A time when players would walk to the ground alongside fans, or jump in the bus, or live close to the ground. So one of my favourite little stories that's come out is that, you know, John Ritchie was such a regular attendee at the social club that he had his own beer glass behind the bar. But I just think that's a really fun, interesting story. You know, it sort of shows the connection that the players back then had with the fans. And, you know, obviously these days now you see players, earphones in, they're very protected. You know, we don't have a lot of contact with them. But back in those days, it was much more flexible and fluid. And I think the idea that he had his own beard last reserved behind the bar is just a lovely little tale, really.
I think it's incredible. If that's the only privilege you get, I think that's amazing. It is weird, isn't it? Because with social media, we're connected more than ever and closer than ever with the players. And yet, you know, on a human level, they seem so far away. And it clearly wasn't like that then, was it?
No, absolutely not. You know, and some of the teaching I've done has been around how sport has changed, and especially elite sport now. You know, it's a world away from what it was 20, 30 years ago. And it's a shame, really. It's a shame that we as fans and them as players now, anyway, that we're a little bit more further apart, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I love the idea that the players would mingle with fans after games and before games, and you could sit down with Big John with a pint after evening. No, I think that's a really humbling, loving story. I love that little tale.
It's perfect.
It is. I just hope one day that I can have my own beard last reserved somewhere.
Yeah, can imagine being that famous. That'd be great. Yeah, one day. If ever I open a pub, Martin, we'll get your glass behind the bar.
Fantastic.
And you know what? With that, I think that'll close day one of the 2021 Advent calendar. You're going to be hearing this a lot, Martin, but thank you very much for taking part, not only in this episode, but as I say, for setting us up for the rest of Advent. Literally would not be happening without you, or it would have happened at a much slower pace otherwise. Something that I'm going to offer up as a thank you to people. So lots of Stoke City pages are doing charity work over Christmas, and quite understandably, a lot of people will be giving at this time of year. And, you know, I think it's only right that as we're doing something a little bit special, I offer up the chance if people want to give a little bit of money to a good cause in repayment for something like this happening over Christmas every day, then you're welcome to. I'm going to chip a little bit of money in as a thank you to Martin. And I've also let Martin pick the charity in which we're fundraising for with this advent calendar. Do you want to tell us what it is, Martin?
Yeah, it's the Donna Louise Trust, in Stoke, which is an amazing cause. So I'll also be chipping some money into that pot.
Oh, bless you.
So whatever other people will be happy to dip in as well, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it really would be. It's a fantastic cause. I know plenty of people from within and around Stoke City have fundraised for that cause too. And like I say, no pressure on anybody. There's not going to be a milestone or anything like that. If you fancy chucking in a couple of quid, by all means do so. The link to the fundraising page is going to be in the description to this podcast, and I'll post it on social media probably alongside each episode too. Otherwise, if you want to get involved with this podcast, just like Martin has done, you can get involved within any way you want to. I do all sorts of series on this podcast, and if I've not covered it, then you're happy to suggest something else. You can go to the www.files.com/get-involved and just fill the form out and get in touch, and we'll sort something out. But that's it for day one. Thank you very much for listening. And until the next one, there's Anita Fortio.